make his praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome and fearfully glorious are your works. Have you seen his glorious works this week throughout your life? Amen. Because of your greatness, of your power, your enemies will pretend to be obedient to you. All the earth will bow down and worship you and will sing praise to you. They will praise your name in song. Come and see the works of God. He is awesome in his deeds toward the children. He turned the sea into dry land. They crossed through the river on foot. There we rejoiced in him. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Shout joyfully to God. I don't know how your week was. I know that might be a loaded question for some. But when you look back through it, oh, how joyfully, joyfully he has brought us through this week. And we are here in the presence of each other and our Lord to sing his praises and his mighty work, his magnificent work in our lives and in the lives of others, those around us. Amen. Now we have continued prayer requests for Pastor Jeff and Tina. And you want to see the magnificent work of our God. Oh, goodness gracious. He is in his working. And little pieces, little steps, that recovery we're seeing in Pastor Jeff. But we need to continue to pray. You know, the enemy likes to taunt us. He likes to bring in those little clouds of depression and questioning, why did this happen? Why am I going through this? And you know what? He still gives us pieces of his goodness all throughout. And just pray that they can focus on those good things, those things that are happening. Continue to pray for Marcia's brother and sister and lifting the Spung family up with Brad and going through treatments too. Keep them in your prayer. Yes, Tina. Lift Tina up and continued healing for her foot and that recovery. Yes, Robert. Yes, your sister. I was just going to ask you. Yes. Robert's grandma, we're glad you're here. I've been praying for you and your healing. We're glad to see you this morning. Candy. Keep Sally Shaw and her aunt and family as they're recovering with COVID. Connor.
All right.
Amen. I know we've got so many miraculous signs and wonders from people in our congregation. And that, you being one of them, Amber. Yes. God is good, and I know Autumn isn't able to be with us, but she is part of Champions Network and Family of Hope. And my goodness gracious, that girl, the things that God has done, she's got a new job with the hospital. She had got a new car. I mean, and she celebrated 80 days of recovery. I mean, I was blessed. Chris blessed me on Friday. It was an impromptu. Just joy. Marvelous, miraculous works of our God in people's lives. Yes. You got a big week coming up. She needs some prayers for strength to do the things you need to do to get them done. And God to make a way. God to make a way. Those are the things we're going to pray for. Yes. Joan. And she's home. Yeah, amen. And I pray for James Traveling Mercies. He visited his mom this week. We'll be coming back into town this week, but keep James in your prayers. Yes, Chris. I know you've heard me speak of my best friend, Vanessa and Monty Stallnaker. Monty is part of our congregation online. He watches us faithfully through our Facebook live streaming and through our website. 6 months ago, I know I shared with you, he had lung cancer and he had the surgery, removed part of his lung, and that he was cancer free. And within those 6 months, it's not good. And I know we have seen so many, and I keep remembering Brad and that diagnosis and how, you know, how God's worked in Brad. And the diagnosis might not have been very good, but look how far Brad's come and the good things God has given Brad and Cynthia through that. And just keep Monty and Vanessa in your prayers. And I know that they aren't really here physically with us, but they are here with us in spirit. And he loves the praise band. he's a fan. So keep them lifted up and encouraged, because I keep using Brad as an example of what God's done and will continue to do. And so in their heart, let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father God, we come into this house with praise on our tongues. I pray that we come into this place with great expectation, Father. Great expectation to have a divine encounter with you. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Open up our hearts and our minds that we may prepare ourselves to receive from you this morning, but also prepare us to give to you that praise that you are so worthy of. You are so worthy of our praise. All the things that you have brought us through, not just this past week, but all throughout our journey with you. We can look back and we just see the evidence of your goodness, the evidence of your unending, unboundless love for us, Lord. And all our mind is just blown of the goodness of our God. And so with great anticipation, with great expectancy, let us come to your throne room of grace, singing, shouting your praise, and prepared to receive from you this morning. I ask a special blessing over Paul as he gives us your word, a special blessing over the praise band this morning as they have prepared all week to usher us into this time of worship and praise. And we lift up all the hands, Lord, that have worked for the service of your church, that have prepared it and have reached out into the community. We lift up Champions. We lift up Celebrate Recovery. We lift up Turning Point, Lord, as they continue their work, reaching out and bringing people in. And we just see the fruits of your goodness and the lives that have been changed through your Son, Jesus Christ. Hear our prayers this morning. Hear our petitions to you, Lord, and also hear our praise of the good things that you have done, but also our expectancy of the things that you are going to do. In Jesus' name, we ask all these things. Amen. 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 What is praise, church? I'm sorry. That was really, really weak. What is praise? It is not quiet. Who's ready to give shouts to the Lord this morning? Amen. Hey, thank you. Amen. Hey. Wake up. Unstoppable and unshakable. Greeting this morning, Ephesians 4, 1 through 6. Therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling. For you have been called by God. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. For there is one body and one Spirit, just as you have been called to one glorious hope for the future. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, Father of all, who is over all, in all, and living through all. Amen, amen, and amen.
Amen.
More of you, Lord, more power, more love dwelling within us as we abide with you, less of us and more of you.
We come before you bringing to you our gifts, our tithes, our offerings, Lord. Not that you need anything from mere human hands. There's nothing that we would be able to give to you that you have not already provided to us. But we come with these gifts. We come with them and we bring them to your altar and we lift them up to you, asking you to take them, to bless them as we partner with you to build your kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven, Lord. We ask that your hand be upon us as we do the work, being the hands, the feet, and the heart of Jesus to our community around us. Teach us, lead us, and guide us, and multiply these gifts for the continued work. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Psalm 27, the Lord is my light. Amen. I saw the light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the refuge and the fortress of my life. Whom shall I dread? When the wicked came against me to eat my flesh, my adversaries and my enemies, they stumbled and fell. Though any army encamped against me, my heart will not fear. Though war rise up against me, even in this, I am confident. One thing I have asked of the Lord, and that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord in his presence all of my days. To gaze upon the beauty, delightful loveliness, and majestic grandeur of the Lord, and to meditate in his temple. Fear is a liar. Amen. Fear is a liar. I felt that this week. And I read this devotional and it says, fear has been part of our emotional makeup since the fall of man in Genesis with Adam and Eve. When they rebelled against God, they hid themselves from him and they were afraid. Things haven't changed much, has it? Especially right now in our culture and our time in history as a nation, what we're threshold of, we have anxiety, we have fear, not to mention what we go through in our own personal lives. Day after day, week after week, what we face, what our families face. Anxiety often affects our thinking, controls our actions, and can keep us confined and unwilling to venture into unknown territory. That's why with so many of you going through this recovery process, I am so proud of you. If anybody hasn't told you yet today, which I know you have a lot of people in your lives, especially through Champions, that tell you often how proud they are of you, you do it. Stepping into that unknown territory. The devil has lost control. It can keep us confined and unwilling to venture into unknown territory. Let truth help you defeat fear. And remember that God is, and there's the triple A's. Okay, triple A's. Almighty. Jesus set us free from slavery of sin. He's broke those chains of bondage. He is almighty and mighty to save. No longer do we face eternal separation from God because of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross for us. And he rose up out of that grave. He is almighty. Always with us. When Joshua led the Israelites into the promised land, God promised to be with him. And Jesus gives that similar assurance. Through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, we as believers have a God not only near us, but also within us through the power of the Holy Spirit. His hand is ever upon us. He goes before us, beside us, and behind us. We should not fear. Here's the triple A. Actively involved. God promises his help. He always keeps his word. Amen. He is faithful. He is right. And he is just. He is actively involved. He isn't far from us. We are within his grasp. God himself is the reason we should not be afraid. Grasp the truth of his power, presence, and involvement. Remember the three A's. Almighty, always with us, actively involved. Amen. Now let us pray or recite, "This is my Bible." This is my Bible. It contains the word of God given to me. It tells me that I am made righteous through Jesus Christ and that I am the head and not the tail. Since I'm a joint heir to the throne of glory, today I will allow what I hear to transform me to be more like Christ. God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. Amen.
Let us pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you today searching for direction. We know that without it, we can go nowhere. Give us the direction we need today. May the words that come from my mouth be our guide that shows us what you need us to hear. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our first scripture today is taken from 2 Samuel chapter 7. It talks about God's great promise to David. Although it's not expressly called a covenant here, it is elsewhere, and David responds with language suggesting his recognition that a covenant had been made. 2 Samuel 7, 1 through 14 reads, "After the king was settled in his palace, and the Lord has given him rest from all his enemies around him, he said to Nathan the prophet, 'Here I am, living in a house of cedar, while the ark of God remains in a tent.' Nathan replied to the king, 'Whatever you have in mind, go ahead and do it, for the Lord is with you.'" You know, so David had won many victories and had a royal palace built for him out of cedar. So David thought, "Why should I be living in a palace when the Lord our God is still living in a tent?" He wanted to build Israel's heavenly king a royal house in the capital city of his kingdom. And so continuing verse 4, "But that night, the word of the Lord came to Nathan saying, 'Go and tell my servant David, this is what the Lord says. Are you the one to build me a house to dwell in? I have not dwelt in a house from the day I brought the Israelites out of Egypt to this day. I have been moving from place to place with a tent as my dwelling. Wherever I have moved with all of the Israelites, did I ever say to any of their rulers, whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, 'Why have you not built me a house out of cedar?'" So even David's thoughts, desires were commendable, but Nathan reminded David that his gift and the mission was to fight the Lord's battles until Israel was securely at rest in the promised land. David misunderstood the Lord's priorities. He reflected on pagan notion that the gods were interested in human beings only as builders and maintainers of their temple and as practitioners of their religion. Instead, the Lord had raised the rulers in Israel only to shepherd his people. That is why he brought David from the pasture. Now continuing with verse 8. "Now then, tell my servant David, this is what the Lord Almighty says. I took you from the pasture and tending the flock and appointed you ruler over my people Israel. I have been with you wherever you have gone, and I have cut off your enemies before you. Now I will make your name great, like the names of the greatest men on earth. I will provide a place for my people Israel and will plant them so they can have a home on their own and no longer be disturbed. Wicked people will not oppress them anymore, as they did in the beginning and have done ever since the time I appointed leaders over the people Israel. I will also give you rest from all your enemies. The Lord declares to you that the Lord himself will establish a house for you. When your days are over and you rest with your ancestors, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, your own flesh and blood, and I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who builds a house for my name, and I will establish a throne for his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he will be my son. When he does wrong, I will punish him with a rod wielded by men, with floggings inflicted by human hands. So the Lord made a few things clear in the rest of this passage. Number one, the Lord had made David king, and through David, he will make sure he will provide a place for his people Israel. Number two, that David's victories over threatening powers will be completed so that Israel will rest in the promised land, and his promise to Israel will be fulfilled. Number three, that David is not to build a house or a temple. Rather, God will build a house, a royal dynasty that will last forever. Number four, the covenant with David is unconditional, grounded only by God's firm and gracious purpose. It finds its ultimate fulfillment in the kinship of Christ, who was born of the tribe of Judah and the house of David. Along the same line as the Samuel's passage, our next scripture today talks about the Lord's election to be his regent over his people and his everlasting covenant with him. David and his dynasty was everlasting and unconditional. Though if any of his royal descendants is unfaithful, he will individually suffer under God's rod to the detriment of the entire nation. Psalm 89:20 through 37 reads, I have found David my servant. With my sacred oil I have anointed him. My hand will sustain him. Surely my arm will strengthen him. The enemy will not get the better of him. The wicked will not oppress him. I will crush his foes before him and strike down his adversaries. My faithful love will be with him, and through my name his horn will be exalted. I will set his hand over the sea and his right hand over the rivers. He will call out to me, You are my Father, my God, the rock of my Savior. I will appoint him to be the firstborn, the most exalted of kings on earth. I will maintain my love to him forever, and my covenant with him will never fail. I will establish his line forever, his throne as long as the heavens endure. If his sons forsake my law and do not follow my statutes, if they violate my decrees and fail to keep my commands, I will punish their sin with a rod, their iniquity with flogging. But I will not take my love from him. Nor will I ever betray my faithfulness. I will not violate my covenant or alter what my lips have uttered. Once and for all, I have sworn my holiness, and I will not lie to David, for his line will continue forever, and his throne endure before me like the sun. It will be established forever like the moon, a faithful witness in the sky. You know, it's important for us to understand who helps us. Psalm 105, 4 through 5 says, Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. Remember his wonders which he has done. Your difficulties may seem enormous today, but that's what happens when you focus on something. It seems to intensify and get larger. This is why it is utterly important to keep your attention on God. That is the only way to put your problems in their proper perspective so that they no longer overwhelm you. So think about the Lord. Reflect on his greatness, grace, and goodness. Consider his name and character. He is Yahweh, the existing one, and the great I am, Elohim, the one who is in infinite power and absolutely faithful to keep his promises to you, El Shaddai. The Almighty God, the Most High over all, who is always victorious. Yahweh Yireh, your perfect provider, who perceives your needs and faithfully supplies what will fulfill them. And then Yahweh Rapha, the one who heals you both inside and out. Is there anything that you need that he cannot handle? Of course not. Certainly, your gigantic troubles will shrink in comparison to your great and mighty God. In the light of his presence and power, Nothing will be impossible for you. Our next scripture is taken from the New Testament Gospel of Mark. The question I ask above, is there anything you need that God or Christ can't handle? We answered, of course not. The scripture from Mark proves once again that nothing is impossible when it comes to God. In the Old Testament, God took a shepherd boy, David, and made him king. Here in the Gospel of Mark, the disciples told Jesus of all that they had done and taught. No matter where Jesus and his disciples went, people flooded to see them. They healed so many, and the people were fed spiritually. The people kept coming. Mark 6, 30 through 34 and 53 through 56 reads, "The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all that they had done and taught. Then because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, 'Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest.' So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw the crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things." If you read a little bit more on this verse, it's also where Jesus and his disciples feed the 5,000. But when we continue with verse 53, "When they had crossed over, they landed to Gennesaret and anchored there. As soon as they got out of the boat, people recognized Jesus. They ran throughout the whole region and carried the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, into the villages, towns, or countryside, they placed the sick in the marketplaces. They begged him to let them even touch the edge of his cloak, and all who touched it were healed." Wow. The power of God through Jesus Christ was being spread throughout the entire region. People who saw these things were telling others about Jesus, and no matter where they went, no matter how they tried to get some time alone to rest or eat, people found them, followed them. People needed Jesus. The healing power of Jesus was even radiating from Jesus' clothes. He didn't have to touch them or lay his hands on them. People with all kinds of needs were seeking Jesus' power, working in their lives. They were like sheep without a shepherd. He had compassion for them and healed not only their bodies, but fed their souls. Our final scripture today was taken from the second chapter of Ephesians. Here, Paul talks about the salvation of individuals that moves to another aspect of salvation, in which God reconciles Jews and Gentiles, previously hostile people, not only to himself, but also to each other through Christ. Even more than that, God unites these now reconciled people in one body. The church is to be a people or community in whom the Holy Spirit dwells. So Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 through 22 reads, "Jews and Gentiles reconciled through Christ. Therefore remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who called themselves the circumcised, which is done in the body by human hands. Remember that at that time you were separated from Christ, included in the citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope, without God in the world. But now in Christ, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and had destroyed the barrier and dividing wall of hostility by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. So how do we move on from here? This scripture reminds us that we have been grafted into the favor of God's chosen people, Israel. We live in a world of chaos. We also live in the light of God's love. May you know God's love for you today and forever. And may your life be a reflection of that love for all the world to see, so that we can bring others to him. God only wants us to follow him, obey his words, and seek him. He sent his son into the world to be an example and to show us how to serve others. God sent Samuel to anoint a new king. He sent him to find Jesse, and from the tribe of Judah told him to anoint one of his sons to be king. One by one, they passed by Samuel, but God told Samuel they were not the correct ones. When Samuel asked Jesse if these were all of his sons, Jesse said, his youngest was in the field watching the sheep. Samuel sent for him. He was the one to be anointed as king, the shepherd in the field, to lead the nation Israel. The Lord had made David king, and through David, he made sure he would provide a place for his people Israel. David's victory over threatening powers would be completed so that Israel will rest in the promised land, and his promise to Israel will be fulfilled. So I found a song that I'd like to close with, but before I do that, I want to talk a second. So some people say, this is the season, it's July, it's Christmas in July, right? Well, this song happens to come from Ray Bowles' Christmas album. But you know what? If you sit and listen to the words, it applies to us here and now. Because it talks about angels and shepherds bowing down. Wise men. The shepherds. Isn't that what we are here as Christians? To lead others to him? To guard the flock? To bring others to him and to protect them? That's what it talks about. Sent by the Father by Ray Bowles.
Our Savior's birth. Heard how few beheld his glory when he came to earth. Oh, but soon every eye shall see angels at his side. See him now on a great white stallion in the eastern sky. Go and call my children. A trumpet sounds and the angel sings like never before, with shepherds and wise men. We humbly and every tongue confess that he is Lord. to claim his own. We won't need a star
to guide us.
We'll be going home. Baby in a manger, no room at the inn. Now a king who reigns forever over death and sin. It sounds, and the angels sing like never before. The shepherds and wise men, we humbly bow, and every a trumpet sounds and the angels sing like never before. The shepherds and wise men, we humbly bow, and every
God told us of his promise. His promise to take David and his line to go on forever. And when it wasn't happening the way he wanted it to, he sent his only son to this earth to save us all. The same lineage. The promise is fulfilled. We just have to go to him and find him and find a way to bring others to him. Amen. So it's our time now to go out into this wicked world of chaos and to lead others to him. That's our mission. Because inside your body, Christ put his Holy Spirit to lead you and to guide you, to tell you what to say when we're not sure what we're going to say and somebody approaches us. But lean on him, because he'll tell you what to say. So have a wonderful week. Be blessed. Go out of here in peace. And come back in his great, great love. And all the people said, Amen. Amen.